Hello, Belinda.
Hi, Omar.
What is this week's gratitude blooming theme?
Oh, it's the last card of the deck. Card number 39, the rose representing grace.
I feel like we've been pulling this card recently in a number of the circles we've been holding, and just I've been appreciating all the different interpretations people have of this rose that's kind of just gently laying down with its sort of stem rising above it. And grace is just such a great way to end the card deck, right? Just we start with card number one and forgiveness, and the last card of the deck, number 39, is grace. My favorite definition of grace is something that you can't earn. It's just something that's received, right? Like anyone can receive grace. And it gets us out of that mindset of like, what do I have to do to get this? Or what do I need to do to deserve this? And it's just like, no, grace is something that's just freely given. We just have to be open enough to receive it.
I love the prompt kind of alludes to this too. It says, can you feel the grace that is within you? How can you bring grace to an area of your life?
It's great that we're getting to interview a love coach on our podcast. I feel like now we're really getting to explore the juicy topics in life, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is sort of like getting into the heat of what really folks are grappling with in life. And so, and she's a delightful person who I just got to meet in real life in Mount Shasta at your retreat center, Hestia, this past week for the spring equinox. And so it was a blast to actually put three dimensions behind her voice. And
we're going to be featuring more of that full-length conversation with you all so you can hear all of the nuts and bolts of Sonia's journey. How did she even get to this as an Indian-American queer woman? And what does it take to really hold space for other people in this way? And so we're so excited to feature this conversation, starting with her own reflection on this prompt and the artwork and just what does grace mean to her? And you'll definitely want to catch the closing practice. This is something that she does with her clients to help them really connect in with love for themselves. So we hope you enjoy this journey of returning to grace, remembering what grace feels like within each of us.
Well, as I look at this card in this very moment, this is a very special card to me, but in this very moment, it just so emanates grace in a way that's been lived, like that comes through living grace, embodying grace, because the illustration just feels like that rose has like experienced its blossom, right? Like it's just, it's not just that it's like bud, like it's fully in its blossom, if that makes sense. And as I look at the illustration right now, it's just, that's what grace is. It's like through that opening and through that blossoming, we get to really navigate life through this experience of grace. Like that's what's coming through in this moment. And it's just, you can feel it.
Can you describe what that feeling is?
Yeah, that feeling is all the emotions. It really is like lived through every emotion. Sadness, love, excitement, birth, death. I mean, it's just when I look at that, that feels like an embodied image. And that's what grace feels like. It's everything and nothing, right? And that's really special. It's so special.
What's coming up for you now looking at the prompt?
Can you feel the grace that is within you? How can you bring grace to an area of your life? Grace feels like disconnected from any ego. Okay. It just feels natural. It feels organic. And that's, so how can I bring grace into my life is giving it permission to be at its own pace. In this very moment, I have come out of like a little bud and I'm tight. Like you could see the tip of my like pink beauty that is going to be opening. There's no way I'm at the full blossom. I just feel like I've peaked. You know, have you seen that? Like you could just see how beautiful that rose is going to be, yet it's yet to unfold. And you could just see that it's wrapped in this beautiful like green energy. And underneath that, like as it starts to open, that it's going to be beautiful. But right in this very moment, it feels like I could see the potential. Like it's no longer in this like fertile soil where I can't even see it and I've got to surrender to the process. I can't see. Now I'm like, okay, I can see you and I could see how beautiful the unveiling is going to be, the blossoming is going to be, and to really just honor that pace. I love that question, Belinda, because I didn't even think of seeing my own self in that way right now. And I think that's the power of these cards. That's the power of this natural return to connecting to nature and allowing ourselves to be mirrors of nature, truly.
As you were talking, I switched the word, can you feel the bloom that is within you? And how can you bring the bloom to an area of your life? And that made me sort of think of the Anais Nin quote, and the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. And so what risks are you taking in your life right now to really allow yourself to blossom?
One of the risks that I'm taking in this very moment is, it's actually my mantra of the year, is I'm walking through a portal of miracles wildly and boldly, allowing myself to be seen, reaping the rewards of the infinite and the unimaginable, right, rewards of showing up. And so
I think, can you say that one more time? That was a lot. Let me really absorb that.
Yeah. Well, I'll say the mantra itself and then I can kind of break it out. So every day I walk through a portal of miracles wildly and boldly, allowing myself to be seen, reaping the infinite and unimaginable rewards of showing up.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like showing up and allowing myself to be seen feels really like, it feels risky. It feels wild. It feels bold. Like the practice, the work that I do, and I embody it, I live it as well. And I've had my practice for 14 years now, and it's been mostly one-on-one. The work that I do with my clients is one-on-one. And although I have these incredible threads of love all around me that show what I do, it's just to bring that out in a more public way. That's risky. I mean, now we're bringing like truth to the world, and then some people are going to have some resistance to that. Like, however, the small percentage of the world right now that is ready to receive that kind of truth and that kind of medicine, that medicine once received is going to continue to ripple, right?
What is the truth right now of your work with individuals? And how does it want to be expanded?
I help the people become the love that they want to have in their life, whether it's with their partner, their beloved already, or whether that's something new that they're calling into their life. So what I do is I help from a very compassionate, very kind, very curious lens to look at what are some of the barriers that are getting in the way of the love that we're seeking. So we're not changing the external world. We're coming into the internal world and being in a very compassionate inquiry of what's out of alignment through real life experiences of what has happened to us. So we're so able and capable of change and transformation. And so I've seen people, the things that have happened to people in their life are just, they're unacceptable, but they happened, right? And so when we look at that from that compassionate lens, we can actually heal those wounds because healing is natural as well, right? And so when we heal those wounds, right, we become more resilient and we become lovable. We return to our natural state. And so then, well, there's a universal principle. It's not, I didn't make it up. It's universal. It's ancient that we create who we are. We attract who we are. And so when we look at, you know, kind of what's getting in the way from that lens and heal, love is inevitable. It's just natural. So I'm a love researcher. The truth is that what we desire, we can absolutely have if we're willing to do our inner work. There is no way to bypass our work. And I call it heart work. So that means it takes a tremendous amount of courage to look within instead of just going. Right? And so when we pause and we look within, the truth is in the pause. And that's why communities like Hestia Magic in Mount Shasta, right? Like that birth of what you've created and continue to create, and you're going to create in different parts of the world for people to come to and pause and breathe and return to the truth of what's really going on. The truth, there's a reason why there's that saying, the truth shall set you free. Because it does. But in that freedom, we must do our work. There's just no way to bypass it.
So just, you talked about just a little bit of that risk of showing up and being seen. What have you actually found now that you've stated that mantra and now you are like, how have you been showing up and how do you feel like you've been seen?
Well, there was a shift that took place and that shift took years for me, truly. And it was by doing my own work. Like, I'm talking my practice, like having it be consistent for me, consistent and flow. So I think for me personally, the fear is real. And it has been real because it's so risky. Yet this year, I've found there to be a shift through my own work, the same work that I'm doing with other people with love. I got to give it compassion, right? Like an understanding of like, of course you have a hard time and you feel scared to like go out there and speak the truth because it's going to be met with rejection and it's going to be met with resistance, right? But really, you have a lot of support and you have a lot of people who are going to back this up, right? Because of what you've cultivated. Like, I'm not going out and taking this risk without having built the foundation, right? So I've really taken the time to build something that feels almost like unshakable, and I can be wild and free on it.
Sonia, let's travel a little bit back in time. So the young Sonia that was starting off on her heart work, can you describe that a little bit? Because I think that it would be really inspiring for a lot of people that are trying to find that grace of their struggle, and they're still in the struggle. And so how would you describe the struggle in your early days?
I grew up being really bullied, and I grew up with a lot of sexual abuse within my family, not my immediate family, but within the friend family zone. And I bypassed all of that, kind of like numbed it away with drugs and with alcohol and with sexuality. So, I mean, it was just like, it wasn't even something that was possible for me to like not wear, not be perfect, like makeup, hair done, da, 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 like all the things. And that's what I hid behind. And it does work. It was very numbing. And so my primary belief was that I'm not lovable until or unless. And with that, my life validated. And then I was raised in New York, and then I moved across country, and I was in San Francisco, moved across country in California, and surrounded by people like the LGBT community. And I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? And at the time I was looking for men, and I was like, where are all the men here? Like, I want to like find my person. Like, I grew up Indian, so all you think is like, you just want to get married and have kids. Like, it's conditioned in us. And that's what I thought I wanted. But when I moved here, so I did, I thought I still wanted that. And I hired a matchmaker. She called me for my perfect match, and I had just gotten laid off my job. And I was like, actually, like, you know, can you call me at the end of the month? I just got laid off. And she hired me. She actually said, she was like, I'm not hiring for an assistant position if you want to come and interview. And she hired me right away, and which led to the opening of the work that I do. But it was, now that I look back, it was like all orchestrated. That first company, it was more about like it coming from, even though she wanted to like help create more love in the world, like it was coming from this limiting place of like this way of matching people. That's just not, I don't think it's true love. And so, but I thank goodness for that, because I knew I wanted to stay in the industry. And so I left that company because it just didn't match my ethical values. But because I wanted to stay in the industry, I went with a second company, and that company was matchmaking for gay men. And that's where it was like I got cracked open. Literally, like I'm talking cracked open. I interviewed my first gay client, and I have a very like thorough process of the way that I take someone through an interview so they can share their like story. And he's sharing his story, and I'm just thinking, oh my God, his story is my story. Like, after I completed my interview, I like bawled so much. And I'm like, I'm a gay woman, you know, and I knew that I wanted to speak that truth, coming back to truth. Like, I wanted to speak that truth. And by this time I had like stopped doing like drugs and alcohol. Like it was more about hiding behind perfection. And so I wanted to have everything like be perfect. I want to come out. I did. I came out to my family. My mom ended up disowning me at the moment I came out to her. And that was really difficult. And again, it validated my primary belief, right? And so to continue the journey, I decided at that point, I found my first teacher, which was gifted to me. It was like a book, an audio book that was gifted to me. And I started listening to him. And one of the things that he said was, you've got to find peace within the chaos. And so I just started like seeking for peace within my chaotic world, while simultaneously at at the time I didn't know, but like I literally started living my purpose. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do. But I had to go through my own journey, like during that time, like in the whole time to this day, like anything that I teach, like I've got to live it. I've got to embody it. And so I started my company and I started doing work with a spiritual guide. The same person who gifted me my first teacher and the audiobook also introduced me to this woman, this Mexican woman who took me through some of this work and just like more about what is it that, who is it, who am I? And one of the questions that she asked me, she said, there's a boulder in front of you and the gifts that you want, the, everything that you want is on the other side of that boulder. How are you going to climb that boulder? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? So I had to kind of figure that out. And that climbing that boulder meant I couldn't lie behind, I couldn't rely on perfection and lies and just a life that wasn't mine. And so it was like one thing after another. I started just like speaking the truth and left that company as well. Started my own company because I knew I wanted to start a company based on the heart, right? Because, and not based on what the industry. So it's like, cause matchmaking can be a very lucrative industry, right? But because everybody wants love, like everybody wants love, right? But some people's idea of love is this lens of perfection of this and that, right? And so what I wanted to create was like true love, right? And finding people's beloveds. Like I didn't want to be a dating service. I wanted to be at the time a matchmaking service, right? So the birth of Finding Bliss happened through a testimonial that a client wrote for me and they called me Miss Bliss. And so that was when everything started, like anything I was doing with clients. So I started doing what I called feedback sessions. And feedback sessions were simply conversations about people, what's going on with them, what's challenging, what they need support with, what's going really well, things of that nature. And those were the clients that were finding love. And the research continued to show that they felt supported. They felt like they weren't alone. They felt seen, right? And that's really what I was doing for myself. And so the point of the shift where heart work became like the primary focus. So I shifted from traditional matchmaking to empowered matchmaking because I realized that the magic was not in the match itself. Right? The magic was in really being able to do the work. And doing the work, the research shows, is having our mindset be in alignment with our intention. And so our mindset breaks down into our beliefs, our behaviors, our feelings, our emotions, and our energy. And so my intention, yeah, it could be to find love, but if my belief is I'm not lovable until or unless, what kind of relationships am I going to attract? Right? If my behaviors are out of alignment with what I say I want, right? And I'm just go, 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 and hiding behind perfection and can't even show up without makeup, right? Belinda, you know me so differently now where I just like, sometimes I don't wash my hair for like 6-7 days, but that was not my truth before, right? That wounded part of me, her truth was, you need to be perfect to be seen, right? And so my emotions were anxious, right? My emotions were sad. My emotions were frustrated, defeated, disappointed, discouraged, right? Resistant, resentful, right? Like towards all the stuff that has happened to me and how it's not fair. But when I came to the truth of it, like everything had to happen for me to do this work. Right? I had to live through the darkness so I can sit across from someone and truly be able to empathize and understand that I see you. I understand, right, what it feels like to want to not live, right? So the struggle is real. Like the heart work is about, the struggle is real, right? But so is the bliss and the magic and the love, if we're just willing to go on that journey. And everybody's journey is unique. Like, I have not found two people's journey that are the same. And that's why, like, if you could see in my background, like, I have so many plants in my home and office, like, everywhere I have plants. And I have plants that are the same exact plants, because their growth is going to be different. Like, even though they're the same exact plant, even if I, like, repot it, like, break it in half and, like, put them in two pots, they're going to still grow differently. Right? And so I had to learn to let go of comparison and understand that comparison is the ultimate heartbreak, truly. And that, like, I get to walk this journey alongside with my clients, right? So my latest research is, I've been hearing this, and I know we're going now and going in a different tangent, coming back to the present moment, but I just have to share because it's connected. That my latest research is, like, I've been hearing over and over, like, just being in your presence, I feel more magnetic. And I'm like, like, what is that? It's not one person. It's not two people. It's not three people. I'm hearing this consistently. And so I started doing a little bit more research around it. And I'm like, oh, it's the threads of stories that are connected to the fields. Like, now, this point at 14 plus years, hundreds of stories of struggle and bliss. And I want to say that bliss is not a state where we don't have problems. It's just that we are able to navigate them from a very different place than we ever have before. And that's what makes us resilient. So we don't, it's in a state of bliss, we fall. We absolutely do. Okay. And so I want to make sure that I'm clear about that, so no one gets this idea of, like, okay, then life is perfect. Like, life has no issues and no problems. That's not true. I work with couples. The real work happens in the relationship. You know, we know this, like, the people who are in relationship with their beloved partners, they know that the work happens in that relationship, but it's so important for us to do that priming work, right? So that we can show up beautifully in the relationship itself.
I'd love for you to actually, the truth of what love is a great, I think, because there's lots of different probably definitions and expectations of what love is. And I say this in the context of, this year we're going to be celebrating my 20th wedding anniversary with my wife. And we've known each other for 34 or 35 years. And I remember when we were in high school, she talked about unconditional love. And I was like, well, what does that mean? What does unconditional love mean? She says, no strings attached. And I've always held on to that definition of unconditional love is no strings attached. It's not a logic if then. If you do this, then I will do that. And then, you know, we weren't together that whole time, but, you know, when we did get married, I remember her telling me to remove the word divorce out of my vocabulary. And so then that way it's just like, you take a long view on things, because it's just like, hey, I might not win this one, but well, there's another one. You know, and so it gives you a different, and also you argue differently, sort of, because you got to show up the next day and you don't want to say things that you're going to, like, regret. So yeah, I would love, as you're, you know, in your love research, like, just, yeah, like, how do you define love?
First, I just want to say, Omar, like, that's so beautiful. Like, that, you know, you have this wife, this beloved, that you both share these values that are similar, right? And that you, when she proposed these ideas of no strings attached or removing this idea of divorce, like being able to look at the long view of the relationship, that you came on board. And there's a synergy that took place. I want to say that love, although it's universal, meaning it's messy, it's beautiful, it'll bring you to your knees, it'll blast your heart open, it's all of it, it's everything. And when it comes to the matters of the heart, we are not one size fits all. Love is not one size fits all. So we can have an idea of no strings attached and no divorce, but sometimes we're going to be in a relationship based on our life history that we've attracted someone that is deeply, you know, unhealthy for us. And that relationship, love would look like leaving that relationship. Okay. Again, so it's not one size fits all, right? But now when we attract the kind of relationship that sees us, that loves us, that holds us, that accepts us, that we have this synergy with, right? Now it's how can we be together and learn about each other and get guides and facilitators and mentors to assist us to be the best for each other, right? And so there's, you know, wherever someone is at the point in their journey is going to be unique to their circumstances. And so, yeah, that's why love is everything, but it's not one size fits all. It's really meeting ourselves with the ultimate truth of where we are. And sometimes it's hard to do that. You know, you see people in relationships that are not supposed to really be together, but they are, right? And so I have this mantra. It's like, we're always at the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. So when people kind of arrive at the point in their journey that they have the awareness of X, Y, and Z in their relationship, we meet them there. And we don't look at the history from something went wrong.
How is your own ancestry inform beyond just sort of the early sort of stages, but just your ancestry informed your perspective on love and relationships? Infuse some words like mantra, and you know, you've made some cultural references that not everyone might be aware of. And so I think it's sometimes important to unpack that a little bit.
I come from very traditional, conservative Indian. My mom looked at my dad for the first time when she was being engaged to him. My grandparents, it's like matchmaking runs in my blood. Like, it's in my DNA to be doing what I do, but it's doing it in a way that is ending the toxic cycle of love. Because love is not, do our families vibe together? Love is not, do our material values align together? Like, love is igniting the soul connection of, like, what is the work that we're supposed to do here together in our collective union and our divine union? It's like, Omar, if I did a love interview just with you and your wife and like did a little research, right? Like we would understand why the two of you are together. Like why these ideas of no strings attached and divorce is not an option is true for your relationship. Let's just talk about me personally growing up. Like we grew up with mantras. We call them mantras. right? Like it was something as soon as you wake up, you say a mantra. Before you go to bed, you say mantras, right? Like we're chanting, we work with malas, like it's in the lineage, right? And because it's changing your subconscious, right? And every mantra is doing something unique to our nervous system, right? And it's part of co-creation, and it gets to be repeated over and over and over and over again, right? To sometimes remove obstacles, to sometimes manifest the things that you want, right? To create healing. I mean, anything you want, you can find a mantra for it, right? And that has, that again, that has come from the lineage. And within the Sikh lineage, there's hundreds, but then there's the Hindu lineage, right? Like there's so many, and I just resonate with what resonates with me, right? Like you'll know that this is like, I want to adopt this mantra as my own, right? And, you know, there's, you know, the Vedics would say, like, then there's astrology connected to it. There's so much for me personally, the way that I connected to the mantras that I grew up with is how do they feel when I speak them? When I say them out loud, when I chant them, right? And it's been brought in to our culture now, right? And so when I started doing the heart work, I mean, I would just literally channel them. I would channel mantras that were very personal to the person that I'm sitting across from, right? So I'm actually like, last year in an incubator at Hestia, I birthed a mantra deck of 55 cards. And I didn't sit and write these mantras out. I extracted at that point 13 years of mantras, extracted them, like went through each and every folder of all these clients, hundreds of clients. Like it took me months, Belinda, you were there to witness that process. And I extracted about 600, about 18 categories. And then I mixed and matched them and created 55 mantras. And they, again, like they're not just regular mantras. Like they're, I didn't just sit these right. These are like energy of people and love stories and, you know, that continue to evolve, right? And so they're potent, they're sacred, they're powerful, right? And even though they are very universal to each, you know, they're just going to be universal, but to each person, the way that they're going to resonate to them is going to be unique. Similar to like, even when we look at Rose Grace, like, can you feel the grace that's within you right now? Like each person, that's going to resonate differently.
I would love for you to share a practice that helps people feel their grace within them, that helps people feel their blossom and the love that they're capable of receiving.
Let's do a practice that I like to call like accessing self healing, self-love, because that feels really appropriate. So I'll have us close our eyes and stack our hands on top of our heart center. And then begin to breathe in a pattern that I like to call the grounding breath. So taking a deep inhale through the nose for 3 counts. And a big exhale out the mouth for 5. Inhaling through the nose for 3. Exhaling out the mouth for 5. Inhaling for 3. And exhaling for 5. And just continue to breathe in that pattern, just on your own, allowing each breath to just guide you to this present moment. Connecting to the different parts of our breath. Let's start with connecting to the energy of our breath right now. Just noticing the energy of your breath. Begin to also connect to the sound of your breath and have the energy of the breath be expressed in the sound of your breath. Giving yourself a moment to be heard simply by breathing. Begin to now connect to the movement of your breath. Feeling your breath move and navigate through your body. Connecting it to the sound and the energy of your breath. Giving yourself a moment to also be felt. With each breath, just noticing how you're able to go a little bit deeper. From this state, begin to scan your body for where there might be a little tension. A little ping that wants to be heard. Part of you that might have less energy. And as you scan your body for where that is most present for you right now, bring your left hand over that area of your body. Notice how it feels to just acknowledge that this is a part of you through your touch. Staying connected to your breath, just noticing how it feels to just honor this part of you, to recognize and acknowledge this part of you. While holding this energy, begin to scan your body again. And this time, tune into where grace and love is present in your body. And bring your right hand over that area of your body. And notice how it feels to acknowledge and touch the love, the presence in your body that feels safe. While holding both parts, feel the grace in this moment where we get to hold both parts of us and acknowledge both parts of us. in a moment, I'm going to have you bring your right hand over your left hand. And I want you to imagine you're bringing the warmth, the love, the presence, the safety that's already within you, within your body, this energy, bringing it to the area that might have a little tension, that might be feeling a little sad. Go ahead and bring your right hand over your left, and then bringing all that energy, all that warmth, all that love. And just notice how this feels. We didn't resource this from anything external. We resource this from within you. And this is grace, where we get to acknowledge and honor all parts of us, love and accept all parts of us, see all parts of us, and then bring the love and the warmth and the safety to the parts that feel a little uncertain, a little sad, maybe a little disappointed, maybe even defeated. Just bringing the warmth and the love here. It's a beautiful practice of self-compassion and really what we're talking about here today, grace. Few more breaths here. Really big, deep breaths. And then relaxing your arms down, slowly blinking your eyes open, returning to the present moment.
What an amazing conversation that was, wasn't it, Omar?
My heart feels lifted. Sort of there's a peace and calm that I hope our listeners are also able to connect with.
So if you enjoyed this episode, we really would appreciate a positive 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Definitely check out the card, Grace. We have new note cards. We have a candle. And we hope you're listening to the Garden of Healing. It's on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Amazon, wherever you listen. And it's free. And so enjoy the sounds of gratitude.
Cheers.
Cheers.